The following Daf Yomi consists of several parts. It begins with the Daf Yomi recorded today, continues on with a quick review that allows you to go over the entire Daf in just 5 minutes, and then concludes with the last cycle's Daf Yomi, which you may enjoy more simply because there are different participants, has a different ambience. Enjoy! Today's Daf in Masechet Menachot is Daf Membeit. We are holding in the middle of the sugya of the way in which one makes the tzitzit, and I think it's probably a good idea to start again on Memalav Membeit. Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, kama uchutim unotein, Beit Shammai omrim arba'a, Beit Hillel omrim shlosha. How many threads are supposed to be placed into the tzitzit? According to Beit Shammai, 4 threads. According to Beit Hillel, 3 threads. Remember yesterday we spoke about the Rabbeinu Tam, who says that Beit Hillel learns that out from the Loshon of Gedil, and he doesn't darsh at the Gedilim. As the nature of the Gedil itself is like the Avot of the Hadassim, which is Mishulashim, 3. Beit Shammai, on the other hand, darshens the Gedil Gedilim, which is 4. Furthermore, as far as the shiur is concerned, kamatei mishuleshet or mishulshaleshet is probably the correct year. So how far down do they hang? According to the Tosafot, the braided part, and according to Rashi, the fringe part, which leads to a difference of double in terms of the ultimate size, because 2/3 of it is the actual string part, the petil anaf, which is just the tassel part. And if that one is smaller, according to Rashi, then the entire thing only adds 1/3. And the Tosfos salt is referring to the actual braid. This, again, is a review. So the difference in the size of Mishul Shaleshet is Beit Shammai Omrim Arba'a, Beit Hillel Omrim Shlosha, which leads, according to Tosfot, to a total of 12. According to Beit Shammai, there is another girsa that reverses the Beit Shammai with the Beit Hillel later on, and Beit Hillel says Shalosh. The question over here is, how large are the units? So Beit Hillel Omrim, the Shalosh of Beit Hillel Omrim, are referred to 3 units, each unit of which is Achat Mi'arba B'Tefach Shel Adam, 1/4 of the standard Tefach, which Rav Papa explained as, I'm Rav Papa, Tefach D'Oraita, if measured in thumbs, would be 4 Begudal, if measured in small fingers, would be 6, and if measured in middle fingers, would be 5, or others learn, if measured in a standard finger, would be 5 plus 1/3. Omer Rav Huna, continuing now today. The following is the halacha according to Rav Huna. It's the arba, betoch arba, umishuleshet arba. So what we paskin over here is that you have 4 chutin, which are then doubled over. This year, betoch arba is within 4 of the 4, meaning 4 thumbs, which is what we call the etzba, and it hangs down to 4 godalim, in which case he's following with Beit Shammai's approach, according to the way we have over here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it's 3 strings, and it's betoch shalosh, it's within 3 of the edge. Now this we're going to talk about later, where 3 would mean 3 thumbs, and it hangs down also 3 etzba'ot. Again, referring either to the fringe part or to the tassel part, and this would be entirely Beit Hillel, except that we're throwing in something we hadn't spoken about before, which is the question of how close to the edge the tzitzit are. Omer of Papa, who disagrees with both of these piskei halachot, that the halacha lamaisa is, the way we do it, which is hilchata, 4 strings that need to be within 3 etzba'ot, which hang mishuleshet arba, which is the way we paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam, the 4 referring to the part that's braided, the gedil, which means that the total would be 12 etzba'ot when we recognize that the gedil is 1/3, if you recall, from the entire thing, 2/3 is loose strings. And that now would be the incorporation of all of the various shitot, halacha lamaisa, according to Rav Papa. Now, the problem is, asks the Gemara, lememra de'itlo shi'ura, but if you're telling me that the size of the tzitzit is a total of 12, like the Rabbeinu Tam, or a total of 6, according to Rashi, because according to him, the mishuleshet arba refers to the loose thread, then the problem is from the bright of Raminu. Tzitzit says over there, the word tzitzit itself means yotze, something which extends further out from the edge of a thing, This is not only in terms of a garment, it's also true in terms of, as we'll see, the edge of your head extends outwards with the tzitzit hairs that are hanging down in the corners.
Keep referring to the pa'at.
Yes, it's called tzitzit.
No, but the tzitz.
The tzitz is also an extension.
It means like a spark that extends outwards. So it's not the same.
It's the same idea. I mean, it's not quite the... It's not the tzitzit, which is separate, as we'll see in a moment. Furthermore, ain't tzitzit, the word tzitzit implies no particular shear, because it's just a small extension. So it's a mashal. Ukvar aluzik ne beit shamay uzik ne beit hilel aliyat Yochanan ben Betira. Not only that, but the zikanim of both of the fundamentally different approaches, if anything, agreed about this. The zikanim of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel worked out in the aliyah of Yochanan ben Betira, in which they came out with the psak of tzitzit en la shiur, that there is no specific shiur to the tzitzit, nor is there a specific shiur to the lulav. Again, we're going to question all this in a moment, because obviously we know this to be not so. That lulav en bo shiur. Now, doesn't that imply, when you say en la shiur, that en la shiur klal, there's no particular amount that's necessary? No, does not mean that at all, obviously. Because just think about it for a moment. When it says a lulav has no shiur, there's a first mishnah that a lulav has a shiur. So how can it mean it has no particular shiur? Therefore, what it must mean is has no maximum, which, of course, a casual walk down with the latest chumras on tzitzis will show you. Your tzitzis can be longer than you. And there's no shiur lamala, so you can make them as long as you'd like. Ava yesh la shiur lamata. And la shiur, what we mean is, there's no limit. Do you lote mahaki? I mean, if you don't understand it to mean that, how did you explain to yourself the fact that ziknei beit shamayin, ziknei beit hillel should come together and agree that there's no shiur on a lulav? How could you think that? Lulav en lo shiur? So what do you think that means? Hachinami en lo shiur klal? I mean, it's a fairish mishnah that says that a lulav that has three tvachim, which is kedei l'na'aneabo, there in Sukkah we learn it doesn't mean which is, it means plus kedei l'na'aneabo, so it also extends a tefach beyond that, is kosher. Ela, clearly what it's got to mean by the lulav, can't be it's no minimum, there is a minimum shir, four tvachim. It must be in lo shir l'mala, you can use a very tall lulav. Then that must be the same thing when it comes to tzitzit. En lo shiur lamala, aval yesh lo shiur lamata. Tana Rabbana, the word tzitzit, ein tzitzit ela anaf. A tzitzit refers to loose threads, as we'll see, that are associated with a braid. V'cheinu omer v'yikacheni b'tzitzit roshi. The Amar Abaye v'tzarech lifrodaki tzutzita de'armai. When we say that it has to be a loose tassel, is the sense of tzitzit, it means that there must be a tassel as well that comes out of the braid. So if you take a look at the way these Ovdei Avodah Zorah, we refer to as armaim, we mean really Ovdei Avodah Zorah, they have this minhag, with all kinds of strange hairdos that these people have, as the Rambam points out. Hair is a very, very fundamental and primal way of relating to the earth, and that's where you find always idolatry involved. Strange things that you do to your skin or to your hair, like tattooing or piercing or making your hair in funny kind of braids or places where it grows or places where it's shaved. And all of these things relate to some type of strange need in the human psyche to associate with sects and belonging to things. And in any event, that's why he explains that the Torah answers them. But there, the fact that we're calling it a tzitzit is you have to do this the way those priests do it. And that means the same way that they had this weird minhag of braiding the hair and then having the hair coming out loose off of the braids. That's what it refers to. And according to many shittot, and we pass them like this, that you're supposed to, Rashi just learns it means that you need to have individual tzitzit. In other words, it's insufficient to just have a braid. You have to have it parud on the part that extends what we would call lower. Of course, Rashi always used the word lamala, meaning as it extends away from the body, it's called lamala. And Tosfos and many Rishonim learn from here, Tzorech Lefroda, is that you have to make sure that you separate out the tzitzit. And very often you see kids that are makban on a tzitzit. All you have is a mixed up bunch of strings that have gotten all combined with each other. That's not tzitzit. You need to disentangle that. There's even a remez that tzitzit stands for tzadik yafrit tzitzioto tamid. A good man will always be sitting there pulling his tzitzit apart. Now, don't think it's a rosary now. Be careful not to overdo it. So the idea over here, therefore, is that you need to be able to see. There's actually a machloket, whether that means the lavan from the tchelet, or as we paskin, that it means every string from the other string. Tana Rabbanan, hitil al hakeren. So if you put the tzitzit right at the edge, because remember, even though we said betoch shalosh or betoch arba, we might have understood that to mean anywhere within that area, and maybe even the closer you get to the very tippy top of the baguette is more a sense of knaf. In fact, we're going to see that that's not true. The lashon of knaf does not mean the corner. There's a difference between keren and knaf. Knaf means the corner edging, and that's an entire piece, the dalet around each corner, which we're going to see has very, very closely defined shiur. But the 3 and the 4, we might have taken as maximum, and then the keren refers literally to the very, very edge. So therefore, we come along to tell us that if you did, in fact, put it all the way up to the keren, according to the Tanakhama, or you even put it on the Gedil, then it nonetheless it would be kosher despite the fact that that's not where it's meant to be. Now, when we say Gedil over here, we do not mean the Gedil that we're, or the Gedil of the Tzitzit. Obviously, we're talking about the Tzitzit. So either the Gedil is the surge of the material, which you make that thick edge to prevent the material from falling apart, but it's not real. People who buy suit material will know exactly what I'm talking about. The edge, where they usually also put in the name of the manufacturer with a weave. That's a very thick kind of piece that subsequently is cut off. Somebody uses it and leaves it there, even though it's not part of the actual baguette. But since over here he left it on, he can even put it within the serge. That's one approach of Rashi. Another approach that Rashi learns is that it includes a tassel, meaning that they would sometimes leave the threads of the actual warp hanging down, loose, sort of a decorative kind of piece. In any event, b'di'avad, that would be kosher. Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov says, no, that's posel. He passels b'shteyem, we'll talk more of this in a moment, and keman ozo adyomer of gidol amarav, an interesting name for someone who's talking about tzitzit, tzitzit tzricha shetei notefet ala keren, that the tzitzit need to flow over the edge. Shemar al kanfei bigdehem. That means that the tzitzit are coming down over, not emerging from the tip, but running across the tip. That clearly is like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because according to the Tanakhama, you could put the tzitzit in the tip. And if you put them in the tip, how could they possibly flow over the tip? Omar Rabbi Yaakov, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, you cannot, in fact, the shiur is a minimal shiur, shiarchik melo kesher godel. You need to take a distance from the edge. It has to be the distance of the edge of your thumbnail until the first joint of the thumb, which means that you would draw a line, not a diagonal, but a line, which was the 3 or the 4. Did we pass in the 3 before? But the machlok is a 3 or 4 distance. And that is not a distance from the diagonal of the corner, but rather that's the dalet that you put as the knaf. Then the distance from the actual corner, you put your thumb there, and from the joint of the thumb to the top of your nail, that is where you have to get it away from. So in other words, you're not to put it in the actual keren, and indeed it would be posel there. And we need both of these shiurim. Now, obviously, we need both of the shiurim. I mean, because one is talking about a minimum, and one is talking about a max. I mean, it's a little bit strange to say the itzrich, unless we recognize that lechatchila, we thought that when it said 3 or it said 4, it would have meant specifically 3 or 4. But now we understand it can't mean literally. It has to be at the 3 point, which would have been kosher. Anyway, even without my reading this, because that's further away than the Kesher Shoguda. is not three etzba'ot away from the edge, but it's certainly not more than the three. So if you do it between those two points, it's kosher. So why do I need both? Because in fact, it doesn't mean that it should be placed at the three etzba'ot limit. And therefore, it's Rav Papa and it's Rav Yaakov. Because as you learned Rav Papa, I would have thought when Rav Papa pasked that it has to be betoch shalosh, he means not any further than shalosh. Shotok shalosh means the lo lircha tvei, not to go further away than shalosh. But, I mean, perhaps kama de mikre v'mali? The closer you get to the Karen, the better maybe. Because maybe the idea over here is that this is not a definition of knaf, it's a maximum definition of the Karen extending into the knaf. Therefore, it's tzrichter Rabbi Yaakov, that you cannot get up to the Karen. On the other hand, imid Rabbi Yaakov, I might have thought that he's saying, don't get any closer than the thumb joint, the size of the kesher grudel. Means don't get any closer than that. Bekama derochit, the further away you get, maybe it's better, because then you have the tzitzit flowing over a larger part of the beged. And because of that tzricha, we need both of these. One to define the maximum, which is the three according to Rav Papa, and the other to define the minimum, which is the shear of Rav Gidel. And that's the idea of Melo. Well, actually, it's Rav Yochanan, the Melo Kesher God. Now, Ravina and Rav Sama were both sitting there in front of Rav Ashi, and Ravina had recently come from Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Sama was... There's always this one upmanship, little jostling in the audience, you know. I mean, everybody's looking for the chumrah or what the other guy's doing wrong, you know. So Rav Sama notices that Ravina's tzitzit, the hole has gotten torn a bit. And now the tzitzit themselves have gotten too close to the edge. And they're no longer the size of the kesher gudal. So he figures he's got a good one. So he sees karne de glimi de Ravina de sotar. And now it was torn, ubotsar, and now it's less than the shear of Malok. Kesher Gudal. Omar Lay, Lo Savala Mar, the Hadar Rabbi Yaakov, pointing. So don't you hold that we need to be marchikit as Rabbi Yaakov quoted Rabbi Yochanan, that it has to be a Melo Kesher Gudal, Omar Lay, but that's based on the posik of the Asu Lehem Tzitzitakan Fevidehem, which means it's Bishaat Asiyah. I made it correctly, as you can see. Obviously, it tore. If it tore, that's not a problem, because as long as the asiyah was done correctly, it's still okay. So, b'sha'at asiyah itma. A poor Rav Sama, his ding turned into a... So he was pretty upset about that. Ichsiv. So Rav Ashi, who had witnessed this little interchange, said to him, lo tatkiflach, don't feel so bad, you know. One of these guys for Eretz Yisrael is worth any two guys here in Chutz Laaretz. So you can only expect to be outwitted. Chad minayu, betray me not. Things haven't changed much. Rav Acha bar Yaakov would put in, we're now moving on after describing the shiurim of the tzitzit to the practical way in which the tzitzit were tied. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov would first take the four tzitzit, and then he would be ayifle miyav. He would first bend them over to make them into a knaf of eight. So before he put it into the beged, he would fold them over. And only then, ma'ayelu beglima, he would put the folded over tzitzit through the corner of the beged with the fold, in other words, the loop sticking out, and then would bring the loose part up, va'avik lumivaka, would slip them through the loop. And now he would have tzitzit that were looped through the beged, and that would give him with a loop on the edge. Now Tosfos says this would not be good enough to be mekayim the din of the kshartan, because we saw before that it has to be something that would be chayav in shatnez. A loose loop like that, we're just hanging loosely, is not something that would be chayav for shatnez. Therefore, Tosfos learns that obviously one of the threads he left out to do a true kshira. We was kosher him afterwards with that. So he holds kasava beinat manya beglima. What he held was that when we learned out before that you need to have
the eight threads, that is eight threads where they are put into the Begad itself. So you need Tmanya Begulime. Why do you start with eight when you put it through? Because Gidilim, according to him, Kehechad Alahavi Gidil Gidilim. Remember that there's also the extra yud over here. This is how Rashi explains it. That there was the extra yud, gedil, and the extra yud, gedilim, that is doubled, therefore, that we now double. We thought gedil is shtayim, gedilim is four. But if you recognize that gedil is four, then gedilim means eight. So it means you have to start with the eight and put it through. So you have at that point now a doubling, and then you hang it through itself. And that's b'makom haptil, the place we're going to put the ptil techelet, where it's mefutal. Rabbi Yirmiyahu midifte, Romi Tamanya Dinu Sheitza. He simply put in the eight chutim the way we put in the four chutim, not to slip it through again. And he was lo avik, lo, he did not put it through the little slip knot. And he just tied it the way we do. So in other words, he held also that you need the eight, which then becomes 16. Marbare Ravina, he did it the way we do it. To put through four, which had become eight, and Ovid Kedida. Rav Nachman, Ashkeche, L'Rav Ada Bar Ava, that he was putting tzitzit in his baguette, and he heard him making a bracha, bracha ta Hashem, sherkit shalom, mitzvotav etzivanu, la'asot tzitzit. Omar Lei, Rav Nachman says, well, what's this tzitzit, tzitzit business? Somebody's got a problem with their speech here. My tzitzit, the shamanu hachi, whose little bird is going tip, tip, tip here? Because achi omar rav, tzitzit ain't tzricha bracha. You don't make a bracha when you make the tzitzit. You make the bracha when you wear tzitzit. Now, obviously, this may be related to the very question we started with yesterday, whether tzitzit is a chiyuv on the individual or chiyuv on the beged, when it's in the drawer, which was a question that we had. So, kinach nafshed Rav Huna. When Rav Huna was niftar, and Rav Chista took over the Rosh Hashiva from Rav Huna, they were friends in their lifetime, so he went in for the first time to the Beit HaMidrash as Rosh Hashiva, or Rav Chista Lamirma the Rav Adarav. And he spoke about what appears to be a contradiction in Rav. Did, in fact, Rav say, as Rav Nachman quoted him, Ochiam Rav, tzitzit ein tzricha bracha. And did indeed Rav say that? That tzitzit ein tzricha bracha? Because we know that Rav Yehuda quoted Rav as saying, minayin letzitzit bovid kochavim shehi psula. How do we know that tzitzit is pasul? When made by an oved kochavim, shenemar, daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yasulayim tzitzit, b'nei Yisrael are the ones who must make the tzitzit for themselves. That means b'nei Yisrael yasu, v'lo ovdei kochavim yasu. Yeah, so I don't get it. I'm my room, yeah, what's the contradiction here? I don't see a contradiction. Why can't the tzitzit need to be made by Jews, but, you know, make a bracha on the asiyah? Om Rav Yosef, well, Rav Bichista holds that by definition, a mitzvah that is kosher be'ovet kochavim, so then if Yisrael does it, it can't be the cheft of the mitzvah, because then how would it be shayach for an akum to do? So that would be why ein tzarech levorech. But any mitzvah which is pasul de'oveid kochavim means that this becomes the act of the mitzvah, and that therefore b'Yisrael tzarich levarech. And therefore he saw this as a contradiction. If on the one hand Rav says that a goy's asiyah is pasul, then he must be saying that the act of the asiyah is the mitzvah, or at least is a mitzvah, and then you would be mavarech on it. That is a rule? The klala rule? I mean, we got some classic questions on that. Mila is kosher if done by a goy. Tanya ir she'in ba rofe Yisrael. Suppose you don't have a rofe, in those days meant a mohel. You don't have a Jewish mohel, but you do have a rofe armai and a rofe kuti. So you have someone who can do the mila, and two people. One of them is and the other one is a kuti, where we have a machloket, if they have a din of Yisrael, whether the gerei arayot, gerei amet. But we have this additional chashad that they will do the mila l'shem hargrizim. Did they have a desire? They had an hargrizim. So who is better to choose as the mayo? Says Rabbi Meir, well, better that the Yovid Kachovim should do Mila, because at least they usually don't do Mila, and therefore they won't have any particular intent in the Mila. And don't let the Kuti do the Mila, because the Kuti generally does Mila, and they do it, L'shem Avodah Zarah. So it's better that the Goy does the Mila, says Rabbi Meir.
The Kuti does it to their own.
To their own. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kuti, better the Kuti do it, and not the Armois. Over there, there were issues. By the way, it could be it's reverse Girsot also over there between Rabbi Meir. But what's important to us is that, nope, the only reason that he says the Kuti should do it is because we're Chayish, that he may pretend to slip. The fewer Jews, the better, you know. And therefore, we don't let the non-Jew do the Mila. Common tactic of Jews practicing on Arabs, you know. So, Kuti velo armoy.
Oops.
Uvi Israel. Sorry, in the old days, yeah. when there wasn't any liberal. So the din, nonetheless, despite the fact that everybody agrees that there's no problem, and therefore, according to supposedly the klal that Rabbi Yosef claims that Rav Chisda held, which is that if something is kosher but with a goy, that there would be no bracha, we see clearly that there is a bracha on Mila, Yisrael Tzrich Lavarech, Yom Amar, Hamal Omer Baruch Asher Kitchanu Mitzvotav Vetzivanu Al Hamila. So how can Rav Chisda possibly be asking a question when something that everybody knows is not a klal? No, come on, hold on a minute over here. The question that Rav Chisda was asking in his drasha was about Rav. It wasn't about others. He was merely Rav ad Rav. Rav Nachman had said one pshat in Rav, Rav Yudah said another pshat in Rav, and he held that these were contradictory. But in Rav, what he said is true. Because Rav indeed says that if a guy does the Mila, you're going to have to be Matif Dambrit, because it's not a kosher Mila. Rav Mifsal Pasil, the Itma Minayin LeMila BeOved Kochavim Shepsula, Daru Bar Papa Mishmei De Rav. It's Rav here who's quoted as bringing a Pasik to teach that if a guy does the Mila, then it was not a kosher Mila. And the Pasik is Viata Et Briti Tishmor, you and only you, meaning people that are part of the mitzvah of Mila, like you, Avram Avinu. You keep the mitzvah of Mila by being mal. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, it's very simple. It says, imol, imol. That means that hamol, imol. Somebody who himself is shayach to Mila can do the Mila. And therefore, according to Rav, it works out fine, because Rav indeed says the goy is possible, and because of that, there's a mitzvah to be mavorech when the Yisrael does the Mila. So what Rav Chisda assumed, he was assuming in Rav, he wasn't saying it's a klal all over. So that's a question, whether Rabbi Yosef is right on this. On the one hand, Sukkah seems to prove that he's right, or at least it tends in that direction. It's Misayel, which we'll explain in a minute. The problem is that the din of tefillin is actually a tiyufta on this approach in Rabbi Yosef. What do I refer to? Because sukkah, if a goy makes a sukkah, it's kosher. And indeed, you do not make a bracha on lasot sukkah. So that's consistent. Correct? And it says beferish, Tanya sukkat of dekochavim. A guy makes a nice, what do you call that, the covers for the patio. Pergola with a kat nashim, and nashim anach hayavot besukkah. Sukkat, a peima, sukkat kutim, any kind of sukkah, which the Gemara discusses, what does that coming to include? It's all kosher, as long as misuchechet kihilcheta, which over there again the Gemara explains, means that it would be made for the purposes of creating shade. If it's not made for the purpose of creating shade, then there's a problem. It lacks the definition of sukkah to be sach. And what's the halach over there? That be Israel ain't tzarich levarech. I'll show you that when a Jew makes a sukkah, he does not make a bracha al asiyat sukkah. How do I know that, Tanya? Ha'oseh sukkah la'atzmo omer, Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam, she'echeyanu v'kiimanu v'hagiyanu lazman hazeh, ba'leishev ba, when he comes to sit in the sukkah, he says, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kitchanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu Leshev Basukah. Why did it say Asher Kitchanu B'Mitzvotav Lasot Sukkah? Lo Nevor, that he doesn't say. Undoubtedly, this is related to the fact that even a goy can make a sukkah. So this means the sukkah is an object which is subsequently used for a mitzvah. Okay? So then this works out fine according to Rabbi Yosef, who says that Rav Chista holds that wherever something can be made by a goy, then there's no mitzvah. The problem, by the way, why don't we say that Shechiyonu when we make it? Because we do say that Shechiyonu, but we wait. The Shechiyonu that we say at the Zman of the Kiyama Mitzvah includes all of the elements of the mitzvah.
Should we have that in mind then?
Yes. But when it comes to Tefillin, we've got a Tiyufta. Over there it shows Rabbi Yosef is wrong. Because Dafka Tefillin are psulot b'avdei kochavim. The Tani Rav Chinina, Berei de Rova Mipashrania, Sefer Torah Tefillinu Mizuzot, Shekatavan, either a Tzeduki, who isn't Mamin. Now it should really remember that it really means a Christian. It's just that we change the word min that always appeared. We change it to Tzeduki because of the censor. So very early on, a lot of the minim got changed to Tzeduki. So it's Tzeduki meaning a min, a kuti, an oved kochavim, eved, isha, katan, mumar. All of these are psulim, shemer ukshartan uksavt. Somebody who accepts and is chayiv in the mitzvah of the kshirat tefillin on himself can do the ktiva. Kol she yeshno b'kshira, yeshno b'ktiva. Kol she eino b'kshira, eino b'ktiva. So the halacha is that the goy is posel. And yet, according to the way Rav Yosef explains Rav Chista, if a goy is posel, then you need to make a bracha, because there's an indication that the act is therefore a mitzvah, which is why the goy is pasul. And yet the din here is that be Yisrael ain't tzarich levarech. We know that there is no din, and I'll show that from the following. The shalach Reb Chiya b'rei de Ravuna b'shmei de Reb Yochanan. Al tefillin shel yad omer baruch asher kitchan ritzat abitzvanu laniach tefillin, as we had before. Al tefillin shel rosh omer baruch asher kitchan ritzat abitzvanu al mitzvat tefillin. Now notice, there's no word here about a brocha of laasot tefillin, so it must be that there's no such brocha. And therefore, laasot tefillin lo mevarech, and therefore Rabbi Yosef cannot be an accurate description of Rav Chista's Shita. It can't be that the problem was the fact that there's no bracha relates to the psul of Asiya with a goy. Ela, I'll tell you the point over here. The real explanation is, Ainu Taina, kol mitzvah da asiyata is the gemar mitzvah. So when you do the milah, that's all you need to do. That's the mitzvah. It's not the achana of a mitzvah. So even though it's an asiya, but it's an asiya that completes what needs to be done. So there, even if it's kosher with an ovid kochavim, but since it's the mitzvah, if Yisrael does it, then he needs to be mevarech. Yisrael tzarich levarech. But where the mitzvah over here, where the asiya is lav gemar mitzvah, it's all very nice to make tefillin. But you haven't been mekayim the mitzvah until you put on the tefillin. And you're kosher the tefillin. So there it's lav gemar mitzvah, kagon tefillin, af al gav de psulot ba'oveit kochavim, b'Yisrael eino tzarich levarech. So it doesn't really matter whether it's shayach for a goy to do, not shayach for a goy to do, that's not the issue. Maybe many elements involved with the goy, where the Torah passes it, where it's nogea needing to have kavona lishmar, whatever the din is. But that's unrelated to the fact of the bracha. So what then is, in fact, so what's the issue that we're talking about over here in the question of how to understand the statement of Rav? What is the issue about the tzitzit? The bitzitzit, the question is a different question completely. Behopligim, we said Rav Nachman, when Rav Chista came in to say, how could Rav Nachman claim that according to Rav, that this is, he says, I've got a problem with Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. If Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says that tzitzit is possible by Akun, how could Rav Nachman quote Rava saying you don't make a bracha when you say you make the tzitzit? Now we've shown that those two things are not related. Rav Yosef's approach did not relate them. So now there's no ipso facto interrelation, the fact that a goy can make it. So I don't understand. What are they talking about? I mean, we seem to have a discussion that's up in the air over here. So what were they arguing about, Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda? They're arguing about a different thing. They were arguing about whether the mitzvah is to make the tzitzit in the baguette. That's the question. So, if indeed it's a chovah in the talit, then the asiyah is the mitzvah. Not wearing it, but putting it into the talit even before it's worn, which was the machloket we had yesterday. So then, mar sarva chovat gavrahu. Therefore, if be'etzem the mitzvah is in the talit, so then inochinami, you can ask from the fact, what do you say? How can the goy do the mitzvah? This is the mitzvah to put in the tzitzit, not to wear the tzitzit. Now, Mela, he was asking from the fact that Reb Nachman is saying that there is no bracha. That's because he obviously holds the only bracha is when you wear the tzitzit. But if you're telling me that a goy can't put in the tzitzit, and you're saying putting in the tzitzit is itself the mitzvah, that was the question. And nothing to do with the question overall of whether something that is possible with the goy is the thing that's chayav the tzitzit, that we see is not necessarily a klal. Omer le Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi. You know, you guys got into a lot of trouble because you misquoted everything. Aton hachi matanitula. You had that Rav Yudah Marav said, what he said it before was that the goy is posel. But the way we got the message from Rav Yudah Marav is minayin le tzitzit bovet kochavim shek shera. Not psula, in which case there's no problem, bichlal. Rav Chisda would have been awfully embarrassed to get up and give a drosha about things when they were backward. The very pasuk that was being brought, he was darshaning in exactly the opposite way. Because what do you mean, daberu b'nei Yisrael v'yasula hem tzitzit? The asula hem means they should have tzitzit made for them. What is it, v'yasula hem tzitzit? Yasulem, that means others, Acherim, even the people that are not B'nai Yisrael, see to it that you have tzitzit made, so that when you wear your begadim, there will be tzitzit in them. And then if that would be the case, there would be chlal, there would be no contradiction at all. Omer Rav Yudah Marav, asa'an min ha-kotzim, u'min ha-nimin, u'min ha-garadin. So then they would be besula. Now what are these things? So Rashi learned the kotzim. These mean the parts of the thread that had been tied. Remember, you run out of thread at one point when you're weaving. Even on the warp, it has to continue going on. So you would tie. And then when you end up now having the baguette, there would be like little thorns in the places where there was a knot in that you may cut off the edges. There's still going to be a little tiny thorn, so to speak, as you run your finger over it. And if you used that, or the nimin, which are those that hang if you're doing some sewing, let's say you do embroidery, and you have pieces of thread that are sticking out, or min hagaradim, which would be the fringe itself that comes out of the baguette. All of this is psula, because there was no, I mean, obviously you can cut it off and then put it in. But over here, Rashi learns the psula over here is that there was no hatalat hatzitzit lishma. You'd have to cut it off and put it into the bag. Now, it's a big machlokus about this. The Rambam holds there is no din of lishma. Not in making, but in hatala. There is a din of lishma, which we're going to see later, in tviyah, but not in the actual asiyah. So if there's a pagam in these, he doesn't learn the way Rashi learned. He learns kotzin means kotzin, thorns, meaning that the animal walked by thorns and it tore out tufts of wool. That's the pshat. So all of these things, according to Rambam, are low-class threads that were made out of pieces that you wouldn't put into a nice baguette. That's the point. And therefore, it's a bizoyan for the mitzvah. And Rashi, Tosfos brings from other sources in Rashi, that the pagam is tasav alam and osay. So there's really three completely different issues that are involved here. So if, therefore, You make it min hakotzin, min hanimin, min hagaradin, et psula. If you make it from the sisin, sisin would be normal. In other words, a spool of thread. Remember we had before that he turned it into a sisin that it shouldn't get ruined in the cleaners. Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel. He said, no, you can't buy a spool of thread. Af min hasisin would be possible. Because you require tviya lishma, and just buying a spool of thread that is meant for embroidery or sewing, that's not kosher for tzitzit. Kitanoi. And this seems to be a machloket tanaim. Do we or do we not require tviya lishma? So what it's mashma over here is we have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, normal threads, sisim are kosher. According to Shmuel, threads not made l'shem mitzvah tzitzit, when the original tviya is done, is possible. And that seems to be the same as the machloket that we have by tefillin. By tefillin it says, tzipan zahav, you cover over the parshiot, some learn, with gold. Others learn, you put gold plating over the kosher tefillin, or you cover them with or behemat me'a. Tefillin, what did I say? I'm sorry. Tefillin. Or you use non-kosher animal skin, you cover them over with. Some learn this means the original asiya of the actual bayit is with gold. Others learn it means just tzipan, that you cover the bayit, not you cover the parshiot. Or you use or be'ima t'meya, it's possible. But if you use or be'ima t'ora, even though lo yibdan lishman, it would still be kosher. So kshirot af alpi shelo yibdan lishman. Whereas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, af or be'ima t'ora psulot, so here we seem to have the same issue. Does the hachona of the material that you use for the tefillin require lishman? That would be the same issue as here. Does the hachona of the material that you need for the tzitzit require lishman? The hachona in the case of the or is the ibud, and the hachona in the case of the tzitzit is the spinning.
From the very beginning of the working with leather.
Exactly. How far back does it go? Is it just the actual making that is required lishma? Or is it the making of the making that requires lishma? So in any way, this machloket of tviya lishma, which people take good money for, and they work hard. Omer avuna de psak is arba, betoch arba, mishuleshet arba. Rav Yehuda omer, shlosha betoch shalosh, mishuleshet shalosh. Omer of papa, the hilcheta is, Arba'a betoch shalosh mishulzot arba. The meimad itle shiura. V'aminu tzitzit ein tzitzit ela yotze ein tzitzit ela mashu. Ukvaru ziknei bet shamay v'ziknei bet hilel laliyat Yochanan ben betera. V'amru tzitzit ein la shiur keotze bo lulav ein bo shiur. My love ein la shiur klal lo ein la shiur lemala. But it's got to be that way. What are you going to say? You're telling me a lulav can be any size at all. Plus, as we understand it there, another tefa is kosher. Omar Rabbi Yaakov, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Metzorach Shiarchik, Mlo Kesher Gudel. The Itzchak Rav Papa, Vizu Rabbi Yaakov. Because, I mean, Rav Papa, he says it has to be Tok Shalosh Etzbaot. Maybe that just means Lo Lirchak Tvei. But it's better to be Bitkarev, perhaps. Kabbani Bikav Male. Therefore, Itzchak Rav Yaakov don't get any closer than Mlo Kesher Gudel. Vimin Rabbi Yaakov, Amamina, Melo Kesher Gudel means don't get any closer, but perhaps Kamadur Chike, the further away the better. It would be Mali Tzricha. Ravina Rav Sam Avayatvik amid Rav Ashi, Chazi Rav Sam the Kani the Gleam in the Ravina the Satar, Ubotsar Melo Kesher Gudel. That's only b'shata siyait. Ichsef, I'm living. I don't feel so bad. Lo tapkif lachachad minayu ketrei minan. You're out of your league, baby. Rabacha by Yaakov Rami Arba, and then Ayef Lumea, Umayalu Beglima, the other Glumeva, Kasava bin and Tmania Beglima, Kehekdo Havi at the end, Gedil Gedilim, Gamakum Til. Rabirmia Midifte, Rami Tmania the way we do, which then turned into Shitzar, Velo Oviklu the way he did, he just simply tied it. Marbarate Ravina used four Ptilim as we do, Kididan. Rub Nachman Ashkelor Varbarava, Rami Chute Vekamavarakla, so tzitzit. Omer, what was it? Tzitzit, Shaminacha. Omarav, Rather Shamana, Hachi Omarav, tzitzit, Insecha Bracha. Kidach Navshid Ravuna, all of Histolam, Mirba the Rav and the Rav. Is it true that Rav said tzitzit, Insecha Bracha? The Omer of Yenom Rav, Minayan the tzitzit, Baove, Kokonim Shipsula, Shenema Dabero, Bnei Yisroel, Vasulam tzitzit, Bnei Yisroel, Yasu, Velov, Tekokam Yasu. Yeah. So what's your problem? Why am I Rumia? Omer, yes, well, he's taking for granted, Rav Chista, that the klal is the kol mitzvah shekshera bovei kochavim b'Yisrael ein tzarich levarech, kol mitzvah shepsula bovei kochavim b'Yisrael tzarich levarech. Is that indeed the klalo? Hare mila, the kshera bovei kochavim, the tanya ir she'en barofei Yisrael, but yesh barofei armoi barofei kuti, better yimol armoi v'al yimol kuti div Rebbe Meir. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says the contrary, better Yimol Kutei V'lo Armoi. But in that case, even though all agree that Lamait it's kosher, Yisrael Tzarech Levarech, despite the fact that an Akum is kosher. The Omar Mar Hamal Omer Baruch Asher Kishan Rosav Tzivonu Al Amila. No, but it's only a kasha. Rav Chista, the way he's learning Rav. But immediate time of Rav indeed holds that a guy is possible for Mila. You'll have to do it again for a tafat amrit. Deit ma minay la mila ba'akum shupsula, daro bar papa mishmei de rav amar, vi ata et priti rishmor. Rabbi Yochanan omer, hamol yimol, hamol yimol. Now, sukkah works out well, but tefillin is disastrous, according to this approach. Sukkah is kshera ba'ovid yichamim. The Tanya Sukkat Akub, Sukkat Nashim, Sukkat Beima, Sukkat Kutiyim, or Sukkat Mikomakom, is Kshir Bavat Shtei Besuchechet Kiyuchata, Letzorech Tzel, and not Letzorech Tzniut. Ubi Yisrael, Ein Tzorech Levorech, the Tanya Ose Sukkat Latzmo, Omer Baruch Atah Hashem, Lekan Melech Olam Shechiyonu, Vekimonu, Vekimonu, Zman Aseh. Bo Leishev, Bo Omer Baruch Atah Hashem, Lekan Melech Olam, Asher Kitchanu, Mitzvah, Vetzivonu, Leishev Basukkat. The problem is tefillin. I mean, that's really a disaster. Tefillin are psulot bavit kochavim. The Tani Rav Chinana. Burei the Rava Mipashanya. Sefer Torah tefillin u mezuzot shikatavan seduki. Min or kuti ovit kochavim. Ebed isha kata bumer. Ar psulim shem ukshar tam. Uksav tam. Kol she yeshno bikshira yeshno bikhtiva. I know that because Shalach Rebchia Bereid Ravunim Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan Al Tefillin Shoyanu Merbruch Asher Kishan Ritzob Tzivano Laniach Tefillin Al Tefillin Shorosh Merbruch Asher Kishan Ritzob Tzivano Amitzvah Tefillin. And he say anything about the mitzvah Lasso Tefillin Lo Mevorech El Alav Aina Taima Kom Mitzvah Dasiyata is the conclusion of the mitzvah to go Mila. What's the difference if it's kosher ba'akum? The point is, if a Yisrael is doing it, then that's the conclusion of the mitzvah tzarech levarech. Kol mitzvah sheba, asiyata lav gemar mitzvah, gon tefillin, avagav de psulot ba'akum b'Yisrael, ainu tzarech levarech. So therefore, what is the machloket over here with Rav Nachman and Rav Chista? B'tzitzit b'akam iflige. Mar savar chovat talitu. Umar savar chovat kavrahu. Omle b'r Mordechai Rav Ashi. You know, you started off with the problem because you got it all wrong. Atonachi batitula. Ananachim Matanin Ala, the original mimer of Rav Yerom Arab, is the exact opposite. Minayin letzitzit bovet kochavim shekshera. Shema daberel b'nei Yisrael v'asulem tzitzit. That means see to it, even others. Yasulem tzitzit, meaning by achirim. Omer Rav Yerom Arab asa'an min hakotzim u'min hanimin u'min hagaradim pesula. Min hasisim kishera. Gamrita kamed Shmuel amar, no. Sisir also psula, because you need to be a lishma. This machlokas appears by tefillin as well. Katzanoi. Sipan zahav o shetol aleim or beimat me'ah psulot. Or beimat torah ksherot. Even without ibdan lishma. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel amar, no. Even or beimat torah, which is the equivalent of the sisim, when it comes to the tzitzit or psulot, because you need ibud lishman. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. We're holding on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph at Tana Rabbanan, about, I would say, 19% of the way down in the Daf. Tana Rabbanan, tzitzit. The meaning of the word tzitzit itself is in tzitzit ela anna. Tzitzit means loose threads. V'chein hu omer, v'yikacheri b'tzitzit roshi. So we see that the Novi refers to the Malach grabbing him with the tzitzit of his hair. Obviously, that's not an anaf. The Omer Abaye, the Torah l'foroda, ki tzitzita the armai. You need to spread them apart the way that the goyim, when they have braids, so at the end of the braid, they like to have the hair flowing, you know. So you see these nice braids, and they make sure that the hair is loose, not all entangled. You need to do the same thing with your tzitzis. You have the braid, and then you have the chutim of the tzitzis that are coming out. As a matter of fact, the remez is that tzitzis stands for tzadik yafri tzitziosav toni. Tzadik will always be picking apart his tzitzis. As a matter of fact, the Shabur even is mitzadeit, one tzad, that doesn't seem as out malocha anyway, but that it might even be ma'akev. It's not not good fill, not good tzitzis if they're entangled, right? Which is why we ask for doing it on Shabbos, because it's tikkun monas. But the pashtus of the sugya is that it's just lenoi. Tomer Rabbonin, hitil al hakeren, or al hagedil kishera. If you take the tzitzis and you have them right at the edge of the kerens. In other words, they're coming out of the alachson, coming out at an angle. Only come right out of the tip. And that way, it's broad, but you should be very careful not to do it that way, because it's the derech of the minyan, because they learn literally. It's not the significance of keren. So, but it's kosher. And so too, if you strengthen the area around the edge of the hole in order to make sure that it doesn't pull off, that's not considered to be something that is extraneous and it's no longer on the knaf of the beged. So that's okay.
Hitul
al karen would be if it comes this way.
Opposite the tip?
Opposite the tip.
Like this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the hole is still in the same place?
Yeah. Whereas what your tzitzis are correctly is that it comes out on the edge and then it slides down along the keren as it says, Al, Kam Seyvig Dehen. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov posel b'shteyen. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds another, it's posel. And in fact, Gemara also holds the umber of Gidol Amarav tzitzis v'chashitei notefet ala keren. The tzitzit need to be dripping down over the edge. Shemar al knaf b'gdan has to be on the knaf. Kiman k'Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now this leads to another issue, namely, Amr of Yaakov, Amr of Yochanan, Vitzarich Yarchik Melo Keshet Grovel. Since it needs to be Al HaKnaf, and not big enough, that means that it can't be right up at the edge. It needs to have at least some minimal level of coming down over the Knaf.
Slack.
And that's...
Slack.
No, it's not slack.
Yeah.
It's but it, as a matter of fact, as you'll notice, his correctly done create a certain amount of pressure so that way they don't slip or come down underneath. But it's not a getter of slack, it's just a question of placement. Where the threads inserted. So they insert it so that they come down over the keren. And that requires at least melo kesher godel, which is not the same as the shear of an agudel, which is the thickness of a thumb. But rather it's from the kesher, it's from the first joint of the thumb till the end of the nail. And the truth is, don't confuse this, obviously, with the issue that we had yesterday where Rav Papa said, you know, that the halacha is 4, betoch 3, that's mishulesh is 4, where over there the shear is a sholosh et zboz. That's a different issue. It's different from Rav Papa. It's from Rav Yaakov. Because from Rav Papa, Rav Papa is giving a maximal shear. What's considered to be the keren? So, okay, so he says the knaf is the keren. And Havamina, if it just says Rav Papa, Havamina toch sholosh lo dolo liochet tfein, that only means not to go further out than 3 et zboz.
Regarding this hole.
That shouldn't be too far away.
Well, okay, so I could have the closest we could possibly have the hole to the edge. And now we're going to have distance. Yeah.
Right. So according to Rav Papa, all he's saying is, fine, don't be marchik, but I would have thought kind of the mikra of Mala, maybe the closer you are, the better it is. It's Sifter of Yaakov. Therefore, I need with Yaakov's maimer that you need to have the Melo Kesher Agoda. The imit of Rav Yaakov, Havamina, Melo Kesher Agoda simply means the Lo Likra Tvei. It means don't make it any closer than that. But on the other hand, Kamad Arachay Kamalik. The further you make it away, the better off it is. You might think so. Therefore, Kamash Malan, we need both things. Tricha. That's the most conspicuous, inconspicuous entry I've ever seen. It's like Alfred Hitchcock's inconspicuous presence. 'You can't use a Barnea, a Levi HaKohen. It's both. Did he ever? Right. Ravina Rav Sama Habayasa Kamida Ravashi. Now, Ravina Rav Sama was sitting in front of Ravashi, and Rav Sama notices. He sees the edges of Ravina's garment is that it was sasat. It had rubbed away ubatza memlo kesher godol, and it was now less than an agudol, a kesher agudol, away from the edge. Don't you hold of Rav Yaakov's maimer? Now this was a classic game of one-upmanship over here. You know, I got a home run, and you're not being marked on it. So it's within the Kesher Agudah. On my lay, Ravina said to him, man, what are you talking about? Bishata Siyayitma. All he said was that you need to put the tzitzis. Akan Fevig Deim. It doesn't say it has to remain that way all the time. So in other words, as long as the Bishata Siyah, that's the way it was, even if the corner deteriorated subsequently, it would still be okay. Not so. To the din of Shalosh Shetvos. Because it would need to be rounded beyond the Shalosh Shetvos anyway, in order to be round. And I'd say any slight rounding like this is round. That's also considered to be sharp. Right. Anyway, this was a disaster because, I mean, when you're doing a one-upmanship game, you can't have a guy come back with you and one-up the one-upman. So he was pretty devastated. And when he heard that, if he got very embarrassed. Ravashi said to him, "Lo tatki plachta, don't be upset. You can never win against these Israelis anyway. Chad minayo kitrei minan. One of those guys is worth two of us any day. So Mamela, you can only expect to be outdone by him." Wasn't the guy that started up. Rivaka by Yaakov, Rami Arba, Va'ayef Lemia. Now, Rivaka by Yaakov, what he did is he took his tzitziot, his four tzitziot, bent them into two, so that now he had eight before he put them into the garment. Umayelu beglima, then he inserted the loop through the hole of the beged, and then, ubeglumivat, he put the loose end through the loop, so that he had now looped his sisters through the beged. Obviously, kasava beinatmanya beglima, keech lalavi gedil gedilim b'mokum seal. He apparently held that you need to have eight at the time that you insert it into the beged, not eight afterwards. So that in the place where you're being koslow, meaning you're being put it through, the seal is being put through, it needs to be already the gedil that you're going to have later on. That's how he understood it. Tosus points out that this makes no sense if it's to be taken literally. Because then you could pull the tzitzis out at any time, even after you make them. And we said before that it has to be a kesher that's going to be mechayev yon kilayim. But if you just loop it through and you just make the tzitzis as after it's been looped, so what's to prevent you from pulling the whole gedil out through the loop and then just taking it out? So then the chorah wouldn't be tzitzis at all. Therefore, says Tosfos, it can't mean that he loops the entire thing through. Must mean that he loops part of it through, but at least one thread was kept outside of the loop, so that then it can't be pulled out again.
He's saying that he doubles, he makes into eight threads like this, 40% of the whole.
Yeah. Then he bends it.
It's a through the hole.
Here, give it to me, and I'll show you what it does. Bends this over like this. Puts it through as eight. You don't have a big enough hole for me to do both without doing some damage. Then takes the loose end and puts it through the loop. Okay, so now he's got eight threads that are looped through and hanging. But even after you make the stitches, you'd be able to pull it out if you just undo the loop or pull it through the loop. So the mail has got to mean that at least one thread was left out. Maybe the shamish was left out, and therefore, once it's made, you're not able to unloop it anymore. You need to have a kesher kayama. I mean, it wouldn't help do a kesher kayama after it's looped, because you can pull out the kesher kayama too. So then it wouldn't be gone. Now, bichlal, it isn't clear, and there seems to be a strong riot from this Gemara to Tosfos' approach earlier in the parak. It isn't clear where we get the idea that you're supposed to double them over at all. Who says it's supposed to be doubled over, bichlal?
Well, eight.
Maybe it's four. I mean, whatever you learn, the shear is. How do you know it's the chal supposed to be doubled over? Therefore, Tosfos asks this at the beginning of the parak. He said, "Well, why does everybody assume that it needs to be doubled? Maybe take four, put it through, and loop it or something." And who's to say? So we'll figure otherwise. There's plenty of ways to have it up to Tariyak. Right. So, I mean, what's going on? So he learns that the whole sugya before that said, "Asei anafu potleu mitocho," the potleu of the anaf is means
to take
that anaf and to put it through something else. And that seems to be what it's saying over here. That's how Tosfos is learning the meaning of psil. Take the gedil and make it the psil. So to speak.
And the only way to do that is to double it over.
Is to double it over. So he's learning you have to double it over when you put it through. That's the moment of the psila. But he says, according to Rashi, where does Rashi Bakal get it from that there's supposed to be a doubling? Who says there's supposed to be a doubling? He says, Gedilin Tasa. Maybe that's enough. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Dikti, he did even worse. He was Rami Tmanya. He put in eight threads, making it 16. Doubling it by putting it through below Aviklu. He didn't do the loop jazz. In other words, he only did eight going through, but it became 16 after it was doubled. Now, he apparently holds that you need to have gedilim. Remember that gedil, there's no gedil part with mishtai. Gedilim means arba, and he must hold for both meaning. Gedilim for tcheles and gedilim for lavan is a total of 16. Again, I thought that was the slings earlier. Which is a little bit problematic, as Joseph points out himself, because where do we get the idea that there's a minimum? Let's say that you don't hold that. So if you don't have tcheles, how do you know that you're supposed to have four threads? Maybe you should only have two threads. So as you say that it's, that the lavan is not makar the tcheles is not makar the lavan, but how do you know you have to make up the difference? Uh-huh. It's a very strange kind of thing. So l'chora you have to say that there's one way of looking at it as in total, that it's gedilim, and another way is looking at it as if it's both together. But then why, according to him, wouldn't you have to make up the full number of eight threads then? Oh, thank you so much. Why would you have to make up the full number? No, he said, how do we understand the Gemara that we had about a talus of eight threads? I mean, if a talus of eight threads is supposed to make up the difference of the gedilim, the way he's learning, total of 16, so, why would you be able to take any out? But the Gemara is gracious, you're going to take it out. Why would you take it out? So he says, look, you know, apparently it's being understood as an overall shiur, but also a specific chalas and lavan shiur, according to him. If you've got it, you've got it. And if you don't got it, so then you make it the total. But he recognizes that this is a strange kind of lima. And then we have the third way of making tzitzis, which is Marbarei de Ravina, and he was Avikidi done. He made tzitzis the way we do, taking four and putting it through, doubling it over and becoming eight. So we have over here three different shitas. To take a doubled over four thread, put it through, and then loop it through the loop, taking eight threads and making them 16, and taking four threads and making them eight.
Have we not addressed, I've seen this with this two holes.
Yes, we haven't addressed that. The two hole business is the sheet of the Bath, where the Indian of the, remember that it said before, tochat tziva achas, is not considered to be a kesher. So he dines one hole, even if there's a kesher shel kayoma, is by definition tziva achas. So who cares if you tie it? A tziva achas is itself not a keyboard. L'maisa, we don't pass it in that way, but there were many that were knowing that way. In Poland, that was the minhag, and there's still people who do it. There's some fine off Kabbalah to do it, but I mean, it certainly doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't hurt.
There's no deficit.
Yeah. So what he says, and it's not nitzik. You are out. You have to do it differently than anybody else.
But
it is exactly.
It's a whole different. I mean, it's different. Well, it's not different, isn't it?
No, not really.
Because this is like. We really, what we're used to, really, you sense that it's all enough. But
well, be for yourself. Okay. Thank you, Keith. That's exactly what I was saying.
Well, it depends on the direction that you make this in. Huh?
Yeah, no, I used to wear the The way we do it,
it comes over that way.
But the way they're doing it, maybe you could hold it the other way if the talus is holding the other way, then it's not even near the canal. If it's being held, when it's hanging downwards, yes, it comes over the knuff. Mm. But if it's hanging this, if it's being held this way, then it's not anywhere near the knuff, and so.
No, the knuff doesn't mean the edge. You're making an assumption that knuff is the tip. Is that what you think?
That I guess would be the way I would look at it.
No, that's not what it means. That's the dearth of the tzedukim. That's exactly what we try to avoid. The tzedukim dinah, that's what it means. But there's no reason to say that. It can offer as a karen.
It's the whole wing area.
Yeah. It's that the three SFOs. Yeah. Okay, so these are three approaches. Marbury, the Rabin, Rav Nachman Ashkel, Ravada Barava, Rav Nachman found Ravada Barava was putting chutim in his tzitzis. And he was making a baruch asher k'nishadim b'sabat zivanu la'asot tzitzit. My tzitzit, because Shemana, what is this tzitzit business I hear? Ochemarab, tzitzit ein tzirka bracha. You don't make a baruch on making tzitzit? Tinoch na'avshin, Ravuna ol Rav Tisa l'mirma the Rav Adarav. After Ravuna, the great Talmud of Rav, died, so Rav Tisa had problems seeing this as a contradiction. Because he kind of neom arab tit ain't sorry bracha. Did Rab really say you don't need to make a bracha? I see, yes, it is. How do you know, the Rav is saying, that a goy cannot make tzitzis? It means that they have to make tzitzis, b'nei Yisrael yasu, v'lo avdei kochavim yasu. Huh? What? What in the world does that have to do? There's two different issues. But Michael Rubio, what's he asking? Omrav Yotanan, Chistis making an assumption. Because of Chistis' shita is that kol mitzvah shekshira b'ovid kochavim b'Yisrael ain tzarech l'varech. If a mitzvah is kosher with an ovid kochavim doing it, then it's not shy to say that the Yisrael has to be mavorech. Because I can say, I should get shown with some bitzi banu if a guy can do it just as well.
What mitzvah can a guy do?
Putting in tzitzis. If you hold that putting in tzitzis is part of the mitzvah, then obviously you're getting into a contradiction because you can't find a shetzi vano on something that a guy is doing. We're going to discuss the various issues in a moment. We're going to bring a lot of examples. So, but if it's called mitzvah shepsula dovet kochavim, so if a guy can't do it, then in a finale you could say a shetzi vano. So it's a shetzi directly to us. So then be Yisrael tzarek l'barek. Now wait a minute. That's a klal. What about mila? Mila is kosher, but the goy. Tanya, ir she'ein bar rofei Yisrael v'yesh bar rofei armai v'rofei kuti. If you have a choice between a goy and between a kuti, yimol armai v'al yimol kuti. Divrei Rabbi Meir. If the doctor is a goy, so he's better than a kuti because a kuti is viewed as a like a mum or a min for a baris kacham. He'll do the meal of a shame hard reason. Rabbi Yudomer, kuti v'lo armai. And nonetheless, be Yisrael tzarech l'varech. I mean, we know Domamar Hamolo Mer Baruch Hashem Kesheinu Sabitivano Alamila. So you see that a goy can do it, and nonetheless, you make a bracha. No, come on, that's not it. Your only ask is according to Rav. Rav holds that in fact a goy cannot do mila. Rav is mitzvah apostle. Did bar minayin l'mila ba'oveko chavim shepsula daro bar papa mishmei de Rav Omar v'yata et briti tishmor. So you see that Rav holds that in Okinami it's possible, which explains so consistently, it works with Rukis Toshita. That since it's possible with a guy, therefore you say, Ala Mila. Rabbi Yochanan has another writer. He says, it says, Himo Yimo, which can be read as Hamal Yimo. Someone who himself is Nimo can be Mal. But a guy who is by definition not Nimo, even if he is, he can't be Mal.
How do we pass into someone's about tshuva?
How do we pass into someone's about tshuva? Shouldn't shake. Sukkah misayale tefillin avitiyufte. Now sukkah actually is consistent with Rav Chisda, but tefillin seems to be a contradiction to Rav Chisda. Take a look at sukkah. Sukkah is ksheira if it's built by a goy, right? And the tiny sukkah of the kochavim, or sukkah snorchim, sukkah behema, sukkah klusim, sukkah bikomako, ksheira. As long as the schach is good, the sukkah is good. And in fact, consistently with Rav Chisda Sheet of Yisrael in Tzarech Lavorech, you don't need to make a bracha if you're making a sukkah. The Tanya. No, it says sukkah latzmo omer baruch atah Hashem lakin melech alam shatiyonim ki imonim yonel azman hazeh. But nichnas leishem, but only when you're coming to the Yosheb do you make a bracha on the mitzvah. Baruch atah Hashem lakin melech alam shirk at Hashem l'savet sivonim leishem basukkah v'yulatzot sukkah lo mevorech. There's no din of making a bracha on asiyah sukkah, which shows that Rav Chisda in fact is correct. Since a goy can make it, we don't view it as being part of the etz mitzvah. But the problem is that tefillin seems to be a teyuf to Rav Chisda, because tefillin are psulot b'ovdei kochavim. The Tani Rav Chinan nabrei b'rovam miparshania say prepare a tefillin in mezuzahs shekatvan either a tzeduki or a mumer. It's a different lashonos of your. It usually says mean. The Goyim didn't like that because they viewed every min as the a reference to Christians, so it switched to the Suzuki. Kusi of the Kachavim, Eved, Isha, Kotan, Mumer, are psulim. Shadamu Ksharten, Uksaften, Kol Shiyeshko Vikshira. So whoever is involved in the mitzvah Kshira is involved in the mitzvah, can be to the Ksiva. Kol Sheino Vikshira, Eino Viksiva. And according to Rapista, based on that, there should be a bracha on tefillin. But there isn't. I'm making tefillin. Rabbi Yisrael ain't tzarech levarech. The Shalak Rabchia Breda Ravuna Mishmeda Rav Yochanan. Al tefillin shel yad, Omer Baruch Hashem Kedushan Ratzavet Tzivano La Niyad Tefillin. Al tefillin shel rosh, Omer Baruch Hashem Kedushan Ratzavet Tzivano Al Mitzvah Tefillin. But notice that conspicuously missing is a brach of la'asot tefillin. So ilu la'asot tefillin lo mevarech. El alav, therefore, we must be led to the conclusion that the criterion is in fact different than that of Rav Chisda. The way to view it is this. It's very simple. Hainu taima, kol mitzvah da'asiyata gmar mitzvah. When what I'm doing is the conclusion of the mitzvah, like mila, there's nothing else to do. So apagav v'ksher above it, even though it might be kosher in terms of what it achieves, but that doesn't mean it's the asiya of the mitzvah by the goy. It's the achievement of the mitzvah by the goy. Fine, so you are now nimo. But if a goy, if Yisrael does it, then he would have to be mavarech. But if the mitzvah that you're doing now, you're building a sukkah, that's certainly a chelik of the mitzvah, but it's not the gemar mitzvah. Asiyat alav gemar mitzvah. Let's say that's filling. So there, even if it's possible, the Yisrael is not mavarech, because now is not the time he's completing the mitzvah, and he waits until the completion.
The wearing of it.
And if you hold that tzitzit, so what then is the machlokas? For instance, is whether you make the bracha or not. The machlokas would be ma'aser v'chovas taliti. If it's the chov on the talis, or the moment you finish putting in the tzitzit, that's it. From a kind of mitzvah.
So that's why
you
made a bracha.
That's why you made a bracha. You saw to it that your talit has tzitzit in it. There is ma'aser. If you hold not to make a bracha on a siyat tzitzit, it's because of the chovas gavra. The person has the chiyuv, and until he wears it, he doesn't make the bracha.
So you wouldn't make a bracha on wearing it if you made bracha on asiya? One or the other?
The truth is that there seems to be a machlokas Rashi and Tosis. Remember we talked about yesterday a little bit about how to learn that the sugya about whether it's chayvas gavra or chayvas talis, that whether or not you have a raya sof kosof in the sugya, that according to Rashi, we end up with no raya at all. Because the Malachim could have tied it either way, whether it's on the talis or whether it's on the gavra. Whereas Tosfos tied is no. It would have to be that there's an inyan on the gavra. It must be that, or some learn anyway, that goof is the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether there's always a component of chiyav on the gavra, even if it's chiyav on the talis. Okay, but so it could be it's dependent on that. In any event, Omerle Ramordechai, Lord Rashi, you know, you guys got into trouble because you learned to say you're wrong in the first place. Aton Achimatz Nisra. You were quoted Rav, the Rav Yerom Rav, the way you did. So you ended up with what appeared to Rav Chisda to be a Spirin Rav from the Sugya of Akkor. Whereas Anan Achimatz Nisra. The way we had it was Om Rav Yerom Rav Minayim Latzitzis Vavikachavim Shiksheira. Shinema Daberel Bnei Yisrael V'Asu Lehem Tzitzit. Meaning, so who's in the Yasu? Somebody else. So in other words, Yasu, Lahem, Akhirim. So learning it that way, I think you're going to need bifocals. Or trifocals. I started to read that way. I know, I said, so maybe you need trifocals. You used to have to hold your head like that. So the way we're learning, of course, is perfectly consistent with the Pista. The guy is able to make, since he's able to make, you don't make a bracha. It works out perfectly. You got into trouble by misquoting Rav. On Rav Yudam Rav, another thing that Rav Yudam quoted Rav is saying was that Asa'an min akotzin, min animin, min agaradin, psula. If you make your tzitzis from that, there's two different ways of learning this. The Pashtus is the way Rashi learns it. There are other Rishonim who learn it differently. The Kotsim, see, I mean, it sounds like it's referring to a type of wool. But that's not consistent with the sugar. The semuvan kotzi means little pieces. Right. No, the pieces that became caught. So in other words, these are things that are not roy normally for us, yes, baguette. But the way Rashi learns, which is more consistent with the sugya, is that kotzim refers to pieces of thread that have remained now cut after you cut the cloth to make the baguette. So it's like a kotz. Oh, so the problem would be that it would be shalom lishma. There would be no tliya lishma, and the nimin would be, let's say, you sewed, you embroidered the baguette, and now you have threads hanging down, or garden would mean you had a fringe on the baguette, and now you loosen the fringe and you make from that fringe the tzitzis. All of those things are psula because you need asiyah lishma, and you didn't have it. And min hasisin, to take stam, threads that are now the stam threads in a ball, would be kosher, because apparently if you don't need the tefiah, would be kosher, because you don't need the tefiah lishma. But when I said it in front of Shmuel, he tied it. Remember that Rav Yehuda went to learn by Shmuel later, and he told me, apen hasisin psula. Because being a tefiah lishma, it's not enough to have the asiyah of the tzitzis being the hatola and the rebegah lishma. It requires the original tefiah lishma, and therefore sisi, stam threads, are not considered to be tevuyim lishma, obviously. Kitanoi. We find a similar machlokas tanoim legabe tefillin. Sipan zahav, if you cover your tefillin with gold. O shetala liyem orbehimat meyah, or you put over them a layer of a non-kosher animal skin, it's possible. But if you put a layer of orbe mata orak sherot, even though they weren't mu'ubadim lishman, apat ishaloi dan lishman, was rukshim emriel mi'olom, and no, ap orbe mata orak psulot, akshi ibdan lishman, you need to have that the avod of the or was dan lishman. The same way we have this makwokos lagabi tefillin, we have it here lagabi tzitzit. Tosfos asks, what the heck is the comparison between many and yanim, but the difference is, how exactly do you go about dyeing with chelas? What we do is we bring the liquid of the chelazon, the samamonim, we should say, not simonim, samamonim, and we bring various chemicals. We put them into a pot. We boil them up. And then shaklina purta bidiyata. We take a little eggshell and take some of it out of the pot. V'ta'amina lu b'udra. We take a little bit of that. What do you call that loose wool? Like a
skein.
Is a skein just like loose? Okay, so fine. So they take that. But a little piece is called a skein. Skein is the whole thing, I think. Yeah. Okay, but anyway, you take a small piece of raw wool that hasn't that easily picks up the dyes. You can see very clearly. Shadin and Leila, I think they have a picture of the raw wool right there. Shadin and Lahu Beyat. Now you put that wool into the eggshell. Well, you do call it fleece if it's right off of the animal. And Kalin and Leila Udra. Shadin and Lahu Beyat. Now what you do is after you do that, you throw away the eggshell. And then Kalin and Leila Udra. And then you have to you burn up the piece of wool. Now that's interesting. Why is that? Shema minat lat. From here we see three issues. Shema minat the ima psula. First of all, I mean, for the fact that we need to burn up that piece of wool, it means we've got to make sure nobody's going to use it for his tzitzis. So that means that a test, if your kavona is to do a test, it's going to pass it from tzitzis, because it's no longer usable for tzitzis. We'll see in a moment. Doesn't matter. Ushma mina debina tzviya lishma. You see furthermore that you need tzviya lishma. It seems to be the same thing, which the Gemara will ask in a moment. Ushma mina ta'ama pasala. Furthermore, you see that if you did a ta'ima on the yore itself, you would have possible this. You need the eggshell. You can't pour that back into the yore either. Now, wait a minute. You said there's three things? I mean, ki'ima psula is the same thing as tzviya lishma, isn't it? I mean, you're saying, if I made it only for a test, then it's possible. And then you said, and I also learned that I need to be tzaveh lishma. I mean, aren't those the same thing? Ravashi, yes, it is the same thing, but it's two steps. In other words, he's saying, first of all, we learn out the law. The law is that it's not kosher. I'm telling you, matam karma, we also can derive the reason. The reason is, matam te'ima psula, mishum de be'inan tzviya lishma. Since we need the tzviya lishma, it's possible.
Couldn't you say some wolf fell into the vat, and that
wouldn't be a
tzviya lishma, shelo lishma, and that would be
possible?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be different.
It would indeed, except we don't see it from here.
So why would he say the number?
I guess because we need to arrive at it in different steps. First we need to say it, you're right, it's very strange. But maybe the answer to that is actually what Moshe Baruch said. In other words, it's important for you to recognize that this could be done separately. So don't look at it as simply t'ima psula. Kitanoi. T'ima psula mishum shenema kliel techeles. Divrei Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel. Since it says kliel techeles, there's a strange Rashi over here. Rashi says that the limud is that it has to have the entirety of the Mara Techeles in it, without having made it any weaker through having been used for something else. First of all, it's a little strange, but in any event, it doesn't make sense in the circus, does it, Boisa? Because our only problem is, it doesn't say over here that you can't dye 1,000 pairs of scissors from the same vat, because you can't use it for something else. So, I mean, if it's a question that it needs to be fresh Techeles, so you shouldn't be able to use it on your second pair of scissors either. So how could that be the meaning of kliel techeles tainus tesis? Certainly, it's the only pogam over here is mishum shelo lishma, not because ta'ama pasla, since you weaken the dye, so it doesn't seem to tie in. So therefore, tainus tesis, even if you dyed it 1,000 times, it's still, if you did wrong, did it lishma shel tesis, it's still going to be kosher as kliel techeles. That's not the point. The only Indian is that it's supposed to be entirely for the purpose of tzevah, is what it's saying, but not that it needs to be the tzevah of tzevah. You're not going to damage the tzevah. Anyway, so says Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Now, the next point of Rabbi Yochanan ben Da'avai is indeed mashma like Rashi, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Da'avai omer apilu mara sheni sheba kasher. Even the secondary tzevah of the tzevah is kosher. Mishum shenemar ushnito la'at. So together with Tzevas, you find Shnit Olad also mentioned. It's probable that the Torah is not more makbid on Tzevas than it is on Tolad. So Shnit Olad is also a remez to the secondary view, meaning the second time you put in the Tolad. Now it could be that according to Rashi, Guf of the Machlokas over here is, if you learn that the Din is Kliel Tzevas the way he learned, the first Shita learns it, the way he, Rashi, is understanding it, so then Enochinami, it would be possible for Tz'ima not because of Tz'ya Lishma. This is a different approach. Therefore, comes along Rabbi Yochanan Da'avai to say, no. If it's Lishma, there's no problem, because a people Marash Sheni Shabbat would be kosher.
But we don't possibly, right?
If we do it that way, yes, because then Marash Sheni would be the equivalent of what I was finding about the first.
And I know they don't do it. Still say that they won't do a second dip.
They won't do a second dip, even the Shema.
Right.
Like Rashi's shot, the way Texas is understanding Rashi.
No, I mean, you can put a whole bunch in at once. But they won't think the dye might still work, but they won't do it.
It doesn't matter how much, in other words, you put in the first place, but you don't do two different dippings in order to be used as Rashi sheet and putting them in a wheel.
Rabbi
explained
to me, Tolas, I'm sorry, I have no idea what just happened.
Tolat Shani,
yes.
Is the name of another dye that's mentioned together with Chelas in the Big Kahuna.
It's not what comes out, but what's left over from the first dye.
Tolat Shani is the name of a different dye. It's a red dye. Because it goes together with Chelas. And the word Shani has two meanings. It means red and it means secondary. So we're using it to understand the second, that a second, you could do a second dip. I think we should end over here because it's going to start us with a long sermon.
Is it saying that the first sitting actually begins with the Kalil, or are you saying it's the second
sitting? No, they're not saying it's the weekend
of
the
Kalil. According to Kalil, that's what I don't understand. Why would we do the
Kalil? I can't tell you that.
Even the regular,
can't tell you that. That's a chemical issue, and I don't know the way it works.
We don't think it necessarily doesn't say that it does, whether it does or
no,
not.
No, I don't know.
Factually,
so why would you do it at all?
No, it seems that we do. It is factual.
But is it necessary for Lachini? Is it necessary for...
No, for the Big Day Kuna. This appears a Big Day Kuna. Well, we're saying since the Torah puts the two together, and if there was a hakpada that it needs to be absolutely the most powerful color, then why would it allow for Faisalas? So the Stone, the second one.
So the Sfar, or Sfar is the thing that's between Torah and Sfar, or is it the thing that's Hekesh one for the others?
And the way the Rishonim learn it seems to just be a Sfar, but maybe you're right, maybe there isn't any of that.
Sfar
is
that.
But then you'd still have the problem. I mean, this points out that it's said by Big Day Kahuna, what's the riot over the year, right? So it's just a nonsense. One of the Rishonim by asked, what does it mean? I thought it was just a oh, no, it is taken. Yeah, Apa got the high court with Big Day Kahuna. See? Yeah, I feel it's Chelas and Big Day Kahuna. Maybe it's stuck in. Yes, we should actually begin as soon as possible. We have a good story. That would be a big plus. When was the last time you received a shear on that?
I haven't received any shear except on MP3 that I downloaded with people.
No, so then you should give me your address. Put down your address, and I'll make sure that you get Chaval. There's dozens of shear that are not on the site.
Was there any other use of shear for this leftover dot?
Sure.
And
for clothes.